Hey, I don't know if this thing's working or not. I got it turned on. Am I on? Okay. Miss Jennifer handed me this lapel microphone and said, "You're the first one to use it. We don't know if it works or not." And I said, "Well, praise the Lord for that." This is my watch. I'm looking at it now. I will not look at it again until we're done. Just so you know, you say, "Wow, really?" Yeah, really. If you'd like to look at it, there you go. You can look at it all you want. We are thrilled to be here. What a pair of services that we've had today. And if you were here for the Sunday school hour this morning, that just added to it. And I'll tell you, my cup is full, just to the top full. How many of you are like that tonight? Well, look, I'm going to pour some more in, I hope, with the Holy Spirit's help tonight. We want to help you. Thank you all for praying for us. If you don't know who I am, my name is Jeff Jameson. My wife, Terry, is sitting right here. My daughter, Bethany, and Josh, my son, is sitting over there. We had the privilege to be a part of this church from about 2008 until 2015, and God called us to another church to have the privilege and opportunity to be the pastor there. And if I don't get back on the road, those folks there are going to come hunting me. They've already told me that we're not allowed to stay, so don't even ask us. And boy, looking back on some of these videos, what a thrill and the pictures to see. And boy, what a joy it's been to serve the Lord right here in this place. And but I want you to know that, you know, even though we've been gone since 2015, it's also a joy to serve the Lord in the foreign mission field of Ohio. You didn't know you had a foreign pastor, did you? But we found out quickly. I want you to know we live in Columbiana, Ohio, and that is a wonderful place, and it's well known apparently for its farming. They have award-winning farmers all over the place. You say, "How do you know?" Well, every day I drive down the road, they're outstanding in their field. Some of you will get that soon. If you start laughing in the middle of the service, that'll be all right. You'll catch up. Thank you. Let me say that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. And I don't want to get kneecapped here. Many of you know me, and I certainly will. The preacher's been trying to do this to us all day. And of course, I've dampened many hankies. We're probably not done doing that as well. But thank you all. We love you all. We certainly do. Don't ever think that just because we've gone off to Columbiana, Ohio, that we've forgotten about you. We pray for you. We love you. We're excited about what God is doing right here in, where are we? South Haven, Mississippi. Our phone numbers have changed. Our email addresses have changed to protect the innocent. And if you don't have our current contact information, please ask me after the service. I'd love to get that to you. We want to stay in contact with you. If we leave here and we don't see you again, we'll see you here, there, or in the air. As they say, I hope that you have your eternity settled tonight. And I want to give you just a little challenge this evening. What a privilege it is to stand in this pulpit again. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us the privilege to do so. I do not take it lightly. Maybe years ago when the Lord called me to preach, I was like, "Oh, hey, preaching, just stand up and say some things, and that'll be all right." But what a gravity there is. What a responsibility there is to open the precious, holy Word of God and to give out a message to the people. And what and it has to be right. It has to be right. And I don't want to get into the message too quick. Let me encourage you tonight with some things. 30 years. It's a wonderful milestone for Clearview Baptist Church. And there's certainly been many ups, many downs, many battles, many victories. But as Pastor already said, wow, isn't God good? Isn't he good? Hey, we sang that song ever since we've been little. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus, my Lord, wonderful? Let us never forget that. And let me encourage you tonight, keep loving each other. Keep praying for each other. But I want to challenge you with this. Make it a priority to pray for your pastor and his family. Listen, folks, love them. Encourage them. Support them. Follow them. I promise you that this man seated here carries a constant burden for your success, both physical and spiritual. Hey, the battle isn't over yet. It's not time to rest. It's not time to quit. And that's what I want us to focus on tonight. Ezekiel chapter 22 in your Bible this evening. The book of Ezekiel, chapter number 22. I want to preach a message with this title. It's not time to sit down. It's not time to sit down. We've seen the word stand many times today in different in songs we've sung, in the presentations that have been given, in the challenges that have been given, that word stand. Ezekiel chapter 22, if you found your place and you're able, I'll invite you to stand, give you a moment to stretch your legs as we read the Word of God this evening. Ezekiel chapter number 22, look with me at verse 23. Ezekiel 22, verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Here it is. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. Read those last four words with me. But I found none. Therefore, because of all of this, have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. It's not time to sit down. Father, we come to you tonight. Our hearts are overflowing with the joys of looking back and remembering the victories, the battles fought side by side, and how good you've been to this church and the people that make it up. And God, what a thrill it is to be a part of this 30th anniversary service. But tonight, we need you. We need to hear from you. And Father, it's great to come and to be excited about the things that have happened in the past, but it's not time to sit. And I pray tonight, with the few minutes that we have left, that you'd speak to our hearts through your word. God, challenge us. I pray that you'd give me boldness and liberty. Give me exactly the things to say to these, your dear people. God, we love this church, all the things that it stands for, and I pray many blessings on it in the days ahead. But right now, in this very moment, I pray that you'd quiet our hearts and our minds, that we'd hear what you have for us, and then, God, when the invitation's given, that we would respond accordingly. We love you. We thank you for all you've done for us. But Father, our hearts are burdened by the thought that there may be one sitting in here tonight that's never trusted Christ as Savior. And Father, I pray they'd settle their eternity before they'd leave this place tonight. Thank you for all you've done for us, for all you will do. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I considered having you stand through the whole message since it's titled, "It's Not Time to Sit Down." I'll be thinking that as we drive back to Columbiana tomorrow, as I'm in the car for all of those hours, my body says, "It's not time to sit down." Consider a few things from our text this evening. I have a few things I want you to notice. Number one this evening, I want you to see the deplorable condition. The deplorable condition. It seems as we read this passage of Scripture, we can hear God as He weeps. I'm certain that He could not be faced with the dilemma that we read here and not weep. And I want you to see there are three people groups that are doing deplorable things here. Oh, we see a dirty and a dry congregation in verse 24. The land that is not cleansed nor rained upon. We see a deceitful clergy in verse 25. In verse 26 and in verse 28, the Bible says there's a conspiracy of her prophets. Verse 26, her priests have violated my law. And then in verse 28, her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar. And they've divined lies. They've said, "Thus saith the Lord God," when the Lord hath not spoken. But we see a third group, this destructive Congress that we see in verse number 27. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls. Why? To get dishonest gain. And my, do we not see these three people groups in our land today? And when you look at these three groups now, there's a selfish focus and there's a sinful focus. There's a spiritual drought. Hey, I want you to see it tonight. Sin is not just practiced, but it's considered no different than righteousness. Wrong here is called right. The holy is profaned. Lies are spread as the truth of God. My goodness. It sounds like God turned on our local news before He spoke to the prophet Ezekiel. It sounds to me like God may have known a little bit about our day when He was looking there at Israel in this day. There was a deplorable condition. Can I remind you today that our churches are filled with worldly filth? Today's Christians, hear me, today's Christians are devoid of spiritual power. Devoid of spiritual power. The Bible says that Jesus told us, "All power is given unto me." And Jesus said, we have access into that power. Why, pray tell, then, are we not seeing and not making a difference in our land as the local church if we're supposed to be tapped in to the power of God? Where is it? Oh, I would say tonight that we find ourselves in this lock of carnality that has bound us up, and we're so comfortable where we are, and we like our worldliness just the way we have it. God, don't you speak to my heart. God, don't you ask me to put that down. I like it right here. Oh, there's a deplorable condition. It's dirty. It's dry. I talk to people all the time that say, "I used to go to church. I don't anymore. I don't get anything out of it." Now let me encourage you, before you decide that you leave this place and say, "Well, if that preacher was better, I'd get something out of it." When's the last time before you entered the door of a building that you begged God to speak to you when you were in the service? When is the last time that you asked God to speak to you? Don't you blame the man of God that stands up with a message of God and say, I didn't get anything out of it. Did you come looking to get anything? Or did you come looking to criticize? Look, I'm just the same guy I was 2 years ago when I left. I'm just as dumb as I was then. I'm just as ugly as I... Yeah, man. I'm just as loud-mouthed and as goofy as I was then. Here's the difference. God said, I want you to do this, son. And I said, okay, I will. Oh, I wrestled with him a long, long time. This man will sit in. He could tell you some stories as we've spent many years trying to follow the Lord and wrestling with some things. And you know what? When I come to the place where I said, you know what? I'll just take my hands off of it. And God, I'll let you work it. You know what happens when you do that? Here's why you get frustrated with the preacher many times. You say, well, he said something and it hurt my feelings. There's this little word. It's called conviction. And when a man opens the Word of God and preaches the message of God through the Spirit and power of God, it pokes and it cuts. Oh, it says that what? The Word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. See, I don't have to come down there and poke you in the chest. The Holy Spirit will sit right on your lap and do it. But you'll go home and say, well, he offended me. This is what I like. That preacher's tapped into my email. He's spying on me. He's watching. He's calling other people and asking them to tell on me. No. How in the world now am I going to come down? I've been gone for 2 years. And Pastor didn't ask me to preach this text. He asked me to come preach back in January. About 3 months ago, the Lord gave me this message. I said, I don't even know why in the world, God, that you'd give me this message. And boy, does it not fall in. You'll see it as we get through it. Fall right in with the theme of the day. But here's the thing. He's not told on you to me. And I don't even have to call you by name. But hey, when the Holy Spirit sits in your lap and pokes, don't get offended at me. I heard this said the other day. I like it a whole lot. We ought to be a people that thanks God for conviction. Do you understand how dead we would be spiritually if the Holy Spirit did not come by our way and poke us from time to time? And none of us are exempt from it. Well, I sat in the Sunday school class this morning, and Brother Crow, he preached their lesson to us this morning. He was talking at this one point about being an example, a faithful example to your children. And my daughter sat right next to me, and I said, oh, God, forgive me where I failed you on this. God, I got a feeling that I've lived in this deplorable condition for far too long, that I've dabbled with things that I shouldn't have dabbled with, things that I need to get out of my life. And here was the thing. You sit here and you say, well, that's not me. See, we talked about that. Humility. Pride. This is what self-righteousness says. That was for the row behind me. That was for the row ahead of me. It says, hey, spouse, that one was for you. I learned this. You want to know? I have learned something in the past couple of years. I learned how to read and write. I learned a couple of things. Well, I had to learn how to read because my wife writes all my messages. This is what I've learned, and it grows deeper and deeper with me every day. I am not and will never be the Holy Spirit of God. I am not. I cannot be. All I can do is say, hey, this is what the Bible says. And then what you do with it is your choice. And here's what I've found. Yes, I carry a burden for our church in Columbiana. Yes, I carry a burden for this church here. Yes, I carry a burden for our country and for God's people as a whole and for the lost people all throughout this world. Hey, yes, I carry that burden, but I want you to know this. It's freeing when you stop trying to do the Holy Spirit's job. You can pillow your head at night and say, God, I did what you asked me to do. The rest of it's on the other people. So-called preachers today manipulating God's truth into pretzels of personal profit. They seek their own gain while sending people crashing onto the rocks of destruction. Our country's destroying itself from within, removing the godly foundation on which it was established. Abortion. Drug and alcohol addiction, sexual deviancy, the destruction of the family, pleasure at any cost, and the list goes on and on. Folks, you have to see this tonight. There is a deplorable condition. And I want you to recognize it the way that God recognizes it, as we've read in our text. But number two tonight, not only a deplorable condition, but now we see with this deplorable condition, there's a divine concern. A divine concern. The Bible says in verse 30, this sobering phrase, I sought for a man among them, but I found none. I found none. Amidst all the wickedness, now you listen to me and you listen well tonight, amidst all the wickedness, God was not seeking here for an army of 10,000 men to eradicate it. He was not seeking a battalion of soldiers to vanquish it. All God wanted was one volunteer, one. He didn't even put any prerequisites on it. He was just looking for one who was willing, one. I sought for a man among them, and I found none. I found none. My goodness. Was there not one willing? You need to understand this tonight. You and I cannot fix the problem. No matter how smart or how strong or how self-sufficient you think you are tonight, only God has the power to turn this world around. You see that tonight? Well, I got this great idea. And if we just roll this out, boy, this is going to change our country. No. Unless your great idea is to bow a knee before Almighty God and say, God, forgive me for my sin. And would you put the burden in my heart that you have? A divine concern. Well, God says, I've sought for a man and I found none. One willing to let him work. God wants to revive right now. God wants to restore right now. You say, well, why hasn't he? Because you and I have stopped dreaming big. See it. See it. We've limited God. God, I know that you'll only let this church get to 400 people. And if we could just get there, what happened to the big dreams? Hey, charter members, you remember, if you think in your heart how you felt when this church first was established and opened, and you held that first service, and you had huge dreams. I've sat in meeting after meeting where we've talked about a big building up on the hill. Have you stopped dreaming? Have you stopped? Who'd you let kill your dream? Hey, Joseph never let anyone kill his dream. Don't you miss that. Joseph, he didn't let anyone kill his dream. Have you stopped trusting God? See, God's looking for us, but we've stopped looking for Him. At the end of verse 31, the Bible says, I found none. One person would have made the difference. One. One person would have kept verse 31 from taking place. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I've consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their head, saith the Lord God. God was angry at their sin. But his wrath was executed because there was not one found to stand in their behalf. Say, well, God is love. Yes, he is. And he's patient, and he's kind, and he's merciful. Oh, but there's coming a day when he's going to pull his hand off and say, enough's enough. You've turned me down one too many times. I've been looking for one. I need one. Where is the one? I don't find it. I'm done. And then his wrath is poured out. Oh, there's a similar situation found in 1 Samuel 17 with David and Goliath. See, Goliath was asking for one man to come and fight with him. Not one from all of Israel now would sign up and fight with Goliath. Not the king, not the bravest soldier. They all cowered. Oh boy, that giant's out there. Is he still out there? Is he out there? Is he out there today? And Goliath's out there. Send one to fight with me. Not one. Until a little shepherd boy came along with God on his side. Oh, he didn't need the weapons of the army, and he didn't need his own methods. He said, hey, is there not a cause? All his brothers told him to go home. What did you come down here for? Just to make fun of us? Just to see what was going on so you could tell some tales? Take yourself home. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I stand with God. I come to you with the weapons that you know not of. And he stood and faced that giant in the power of God. And what happened? David was killed, right? There was a great victory that day because one said, it's not time to sit down. It's not time to sit down. Today we have Goliath standing everywhere mocking God's people. They say, come and fight with me. We cower and hide like the armies of Israel. And we criticize David, but we're trying now to grow our own Goliath. See that in your mind. Say, so what do you mean we're trying to grow our own Goliath? When's the last time you came and fell on your face and asked God to do something that only he could do? Instead of trying to sit down and figure out how in your strength you'd get it done. Stop trying to grow a Goliath and just trust God. Hey, there is a cause, and it isn't time to sit down. And there is now this deplorable condition we see, and there's a divine concern. And in the meantime, while we don't even watch it, and while we're sitting in comfort, we think, in our own homes, we find that we're being defeated by the devil, by the world, and by our own flesh. Hey, Vance Havner said this, Christianity is spending time studying Goliath's armor and how to duplicate it, instead of studying the secret of David's sling and stone. Was there anything special about that sling and that stone? Only that God was behind it. Never have we had so many experts today sitting around talking about strategy, but not doing anything. Today, what we need is those who'll just show up at the throne and sign up for the job. Hey, maybe tonight there'd be a willing volunteer who'd say, I'll sign up. I'll stand in the gap. God's looking for one that's not ready to sit down. Number three, there's a demanding challenge. Verse 30 says, God's looking for one to make up the hedge, one to stand in the gap. There are thousands of professing Christians in this area right now that have zero burden for the work of God. How about you? How about you? Where's your burden? See, most simply don't care if the gospel's shared both here locally and throughout the world. Don't care. I've come to church to be entertained. I've come to church to check a mark off of my guilt list. How's your burden? You say, well, how do you know I don't care? How do you know they don't care? Lack of participation. Lack of participation. Hey, here are some burdens that need to be shouldered. There's a demanding challenge. We need to have now a burden for ministry. I want you to understand tonight, it takes people, we've seen it all day long, it takes people willing to give of their time, of their talent, and their treasure to make the ministry vibrant. Can't run it all by just the pastor doing and his family. Can't run it all by just the pastor and the deacons. Can't run it all by the pastor, the deacons, and the Sunday school teachers. Hey, we need some folks that'll just be faithful. I look around and I see faces that I've seen for years and years. Thank you for being faithful. But listen, it's not time to sit down. It's not time to sit down. The war's not over yet. The battle still needs to be fought. Someone needs to catch a fresh burden for the ministry. Hey, there needs to be an increased burden for missions. Let me ask you a question. And I will warn you ahead of time. Ouch. You've been warned. Who will die and spend an eternity in hell because of our failure to help spread the gospel to the lost? Let me share something with you, folks. When you start to think in the terms of a person's eternity, your focus in life will change. You say, well, God only calls certain people to the mission field. No, God bursts the burden in your heart. And it's amazing what He'll ask you to do. It's amazing. Look, most of you here know me. And I'm not, in no way, shape, or form would I ever try to take any glory from God. Every bit of the glory goes to God and God alone. But how God would take a guy who had a successful career in the computer field and one day come along and say, son, I want you to put that away and I want you to go and preach the gospel for me. Me? Pastor, you could have got a whole lot better people up here to preach tonight. I promise you that. You could put your son up here and he could do a better job than me. Somebody told me once that they can train monkeys to preach a message. When's the last time you saw a monkey had a burden? We need some folks today. Oh, we sing songs and we don't even think about what we sing anymore. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Listen, millions grope in darkness. Millions waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire. Oh, I want it to be that when you come and sit in the pew of the church house and when the book is open and when your life, as you said, Brother Crow, this morning, doesn't line up like it should with the Word of God, that you're broken over it, that you find yourself saying, God, help me. Cleanse me. Pour within me a fresh vision and a fresh burden. Hey, we need some folks to have a burden again for the family. You know, today in our land, the family's under attack by the devil. That's bad enough in itself. But do you know the world's fighting on his side? We must protect our children and our homes. No one else is going to. You hear me and hear me well. No one else is going to. It's up to God's people to protect the family. With that said, many of us are allowing and harboring the enemy's wickedness inside the walls of our own very homes. Then when our family struggles, we blame God. We blame God. We shake our fist at God. God, why would you let this happen? We blame the church. We blame everyone but our own selves. We're the ones that left the door open. Hey, what happened to, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Or, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Hey, I want you to see this doesn't just affect the physical family, but it affects the spiritual family as well, the church family. And there's a great need in our time for God's people to set aside their selfishness and their pride and their bitterness and their perceived hurts and their criticism and their anger. Hey, churches are powerless today because there are too many that just can't get along. I challenged our people with this. I said, if there's one sitting in the church with you right now that you can't go to and together get on your knees and ask God for something, you need to go to that person at invitation time and make that right. God says that the body is fitted together perfectly. And that we've all been called to a purpose. And that we ought to work together well. And it would be a really bad thing right now if I decided to turn around and go backwards and my feet went that way. Thank the Lord that worked out. You say, well, that's silly. No, it's not. No, it's not. I've seen division harm more churches. And strife. And bitterness. And selfishness. Say, well, that's the other person. Hey, is the Lord talking to you tonight? Are you up for the challenge? Or you say, no, I'm just going to sit down. Hey, it's not time to sit down. If we're going to make a difference, if there's going to be any difference made by the local church in the world in which we live, we must have a revival of God's people. We must see some folks stand up to carry a burden. You say, why is it so important? Number four. A delightful continuance. A delightful continuance. Look again at verse 30. There's a phrase there I want you to see. Verse 30. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. And here's that phrase. That I should not destroy it. God was looking for one that would stand up, and this is why. Because he said, you know what, if I find that one, I won't destroy the land. There's a delightful continuance here. God said if there's one that would stand in the gap, destruction would be avoided. And it's a thrill to know that God's in the saving business. He's in the salvaging business. He's in the restoring business. But it's going to take some folks who decide it's not time to sit down. Some folks that'll get up and stand up for God. Some folks that'll forget about quitting and just keep standing for God. Some folks that have decided, hey, I'm not going to quit until the 40th, 50th, 60th anniversary of this church. Hey, I'm not going to quit till Jesus comes. That's what we need. What about you? Have you decided it's time to sit down? Tonight, God's not looking for strategists, just one that'll stand. He's not looking for schemers, one that'll stand. He's not looking for superstars, praise the Lord, one that will stand. That's all he's looking for. Everybody says, I don't have any ability. Hey, surely after all that God has done, there'd be one more volunteer. Just one more. Someone that would say, here, my Lord, send me. Say, I don't have any talent. It didn't stop God from using me. I heard that. Scratch them off our Christmas card list. Listen, you say, I don't have any ability. God wants your availability. He wants your dependability. He wants your reliability. Hey, what about you tonight? What about you? Would you be willing, when we come to the invitation time, to say, you know what? I've heard enough tonight from the Lord that, hey, there's some things I need to make right. I love it that we've made it to 30 years at Clearview Baptist Church, but my goodness, I want to be a part of the 40th and the 50th and the 60th. If the Lord lets me live that long, the 70th, 80th, 90th, 100th, praise Jesus, I'll be gumming things then. Maybe my hair will fall out by then. My hair's rooted well, just in case you didn't notice. I've been a pastor for 2 years. It's not even starting to thin yet. That's great. And I look at pastor there, and see, he's still got his hair on the top too. So that's good. You say, is being a pastor a hard job? Listen to me this evening. Is being a pastor a hard job? Is being faithful to God a hard job? Is being faithful to God a hard job? Is coming week after week and reading your Bible every day and praying, is that too much to ask? Hey, listen, God's called me to the ministry and I thank Him for that. I still am boggled by why He would choose a guy like me to be in the ministry. And hey, look, if He can say, I want you, He can say He wants you too. What about it? You say, well, is it hard being a pastor? Not any harder than it is being a faithful Christian. You say, why? I'm not doing it in my own power, folks. It's God's power. This man doesn't travel the country and the world in his own power, but in God's power. Brother Hollis is going to the mission field, not in his power, but in God's power. And you've sat here week after week and year after year. Hey, not in your power, but in God's power. And all God says is, would you stand up for me? I'm looking for one. Father, we know it's not time to sit down. And I pray tonight that there'd be one that would sit here and say, you know, I've been on the fence and I'm going to get off that fence tonight. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to just show up and sign up. I think there's many of us that would say, well, I'd sign up if I knew what the future held. God, you've never promised us tomorrow. Just ask us who'd stand today. And I pray there'd be one tonight that might make a decision, God, to stand for you, that would be willing. Thank you for the many blessings that you've poured out upon this church, upon its people. And God, the best is yet to come. And I pray that you'd bless in a way that only you can. I pray you take the message, cleanse it of my error. I pray that you just use it in a way that would be pleasing to you. Bless in the invitation time to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With your heads bowed.